peace of mind with Littman Brooks.
Welcome, everyone, to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks, based right here in White Plains. And we're heard every Thursday evening right here on WFAS AM 1230 from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And tonight, our special guest is Mr. Steve Madej from the Miracle League. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you for having me here.
It is great to have you, and you've got quite a story to tell. Tell us, what is the Miracle League?
Well, the Miracle League is an alternative baseball program for children and adults with special needs. We started it in Westchester about 3 years ago.
And what's the goal? What's your mission?
Well, my mission is twofold. Number one is to provide an opportunity for the special needs population to have something to do on weekends and evenings and during the daytime. And then the second thing is to raise the awareness of the typically developing community to the needs of the special needs community.
And tell me how it started. I mean, did you wake up one day and say, this is what I'm going to do? Did you go see something like this that was being held in some other city or state? I mean, what spawned the idea?
Well, Miracle League started in Conyers, Georgia, and it's a national organization. We are their Westchester affiliate. I happened to be working with the Cerebral Palsy Association of Putnam County at the time, and they took me down there. They were considering building a field. Being a big mush, as I was saying to you before, when I got down there and took a look at the field, I wound up in left field with tears in my eyes and seeing this wonderful program going on. Came back to Westchester County and decided to try and replicate the program up here. And with the blessings of Miracle League and the support of Westchester County, we were able to pull it off.
So is there any personal connection to family members with special needs that drove you to do this?
I've been working with the special needs population for over 30 years, and I do not have a family member. It's just a love for that whole population. I don't know how else to describe it.
So is this the first endeavor you've had into the area? Have you done other things in the special needs community prior to Miracle League?
Well, I run the educational program at Ferncliff Manor, which is a residential school in Yonkers. I've worked within the Cerebral Palsy Associations, and pretty much my career has been committed to working with children and adults with special needs.
So this is what you like to do?
That's what I love to do, yes. And what's interesting, as an aside, is that my background is in my undergraduate graduate degrees are in music.
Well, music can be very therapeutic.
Well, music, that's how it got me into this. I wound up, I started by working at Blythedale Children's Hospital as a music therapist, not a music therapist, but in the recreation department with music.
So the Miracle League is a not-for-profit corporation?
That's correct. We're 501c3. Just to give you a brief history of how we started here in Westchester, knowing that land is at a premium around here and knowing that I needed to find something to build, I approached one of the county legislators, Marty Rogowski, out of the Purchase-Rybrook area, who is a huge baseball fan, with the concept. And Marty helped navigate the system, Westchester County system, until we got up to the county executive, Andy Spano. And my idea was a five-year plan of trying to lease a piece of property inexpensively from the county, because privately I probably would not be able to do it, and then raise the $500,000 or so to build the field. And instead, Andy brought me into his office, and I sat there with Marty and Joe Stout from Parks and Recreation. They said, well, we're not going to lease you any property, and I was dejected. They said, no, instead we're going to build you a field, and we want you to go out with Parks and Recreation this week and find a place. And we found the Ridge Road Park in Hartsdale, and that became our home.
What was there before the field was put down?
They apparently had a softball field and was used for community activities. And what they've done is they've turned around, and now, as you know, and I know you've seen the field, they've constructed this fully accessible rubberized surface baseball field about the size of a Little League complex.
And are others permitted to use the field, or is it solely for Miracle League?
It's primarily for Miracle League. However, if other programs want to come in and take a look at it, they can contact me, and then I will work it out with the County Parks and Recreation.
All right, so let's just take a step back. You said that the National Miracle League is based in Georgia, or it started in Georgia.
Correct.
And you went to see a game. Tell us about that. Where were you?
I was down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Just on business?
No, we flew down specifically from with the folks from Putnam County CP, and solely to see what this whole project was like, because Putnam was considering building a field.
So someone from Putnam contacted you and said you were interested in this idea. You'd never heard about it before.
No, I was working at Putnam at the time.
Okay.
As an aside, I also umpire college and high school baseball, so they knew I had an interest in the game of baseball, and they flew me down with the rest of the group from Putnam.
And you met with the people from the National Miracle League?
Diane Alford, who is the executive director for Miracle League National, took us over to the field. There was a game set up for us to observe, and it was just a very moving experience.
And how did it start? What made her do it? Do you know?
Yes, I do. It was actually one of these feel-good stories where a kid was sitting by the side of a field in the wheelchair, and his sibling was out on a little league field playing and said to his dad, gee, I wish I could do something like that. And they brought him out on the field and let him play for a while. And someone said, gee, we should do something like this. And, of course, the major drawback with having a child in any kind of with any kind of mobility impairment is that on a field that's not smooth, you can have a great deal of difficulty. So they devised this concept of building a rubberized surface, not an AstroTurf, because that wheelchair wheels would bind in that, but a solid rubberized surface so that anybody with a mobility impairment can play on it.
Pretty hard to push a wheelchair on an infield, right?
On any regular infield, yeah. And the other wonderful thing about our field is that in any kind of normal playing condition, if you get rain in the morning by, you know, a heavy rain overnight, your games are usually canceled for the remainder of the day. If we get a heavy rain overnight and we get some sunshine, we're playing the next day, or right away.
So you went to Atlanta, you saw the Miracle League in action, you said, this is something we want to do, and then how long did it take to make it happen?
Well, I was, as I said before, I was working at the time at Putnam. I left Putnam and moved down to Ferncliff Manor. I gave it some time to see whether or not Putnam was moving on the field, and placed a call to the national organization to inquire, because I didn't want to do anything that would upset their plans. And I was told by National that I got the blessings from National to go ahead. From start to finish, from the time that I brought it to Marty Rogowski and until the time the field was built, was 9 months. It's the fastest project that has ever gone through the Westchester County Legislature from start to finish.
And this is something that has the complete support of the county executive?
Total support of the county executive. He was at our major fundraising gala this past week, and he was there for the whole event.
So he basically says, find the place for the field, and we'll build it for you.
We'll build it. You run it.
And that's what you did.
That's what we did. We are a standalone 501c3. We have a very wonderful working relationship with Joe Stout and Peter Neglia from Parks and Recreation, and, of course, Andy and all the folks, Susan Tolchin and Larry Schwartz from the county executive's office. But we run the program itself. They give us an opportunity to use the field basically at our will.
So when you say you run it, you're responsible for coming up with the money for the equipment or getting people to donate it and uniforms, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. We basically I've got a board. We're in the process now of looking at restructuring because we've grown so quickly. But we run it from soup to nuts, yeah. We do the organization for the scheduling, for the buddies that come in, all the uniforms and the trophies and the picnics at the end and the whole thing.
Now, is there any connection or responsibility to report to the National Miracle League, or are you just a standalone, separate entity?
We do have a reporting mechanism that goes back and forth, but essentially we're a standalone, separate entity. We have we pay a fee every year to be able to use the charter, but they've got books that are supposed to guide us, but to be very honest, I think our level of sophistication in this area has been a lot higher than what they've been able to bring to the table.
So then what's the benefit locally to having the affiliation with the national organization as opposed to just calling it something else and just doing your thing?
Number one is that we got the footprint for the plans, which would have been prohibitively expensive to go through the architectural type of drawings, et cetera, that we had to do. We do have the affiliation that gives us, you know, if we want to use their vendors' cut rates on with regards to purchasing equipment and supplies. And I think the big thing is the footprint of the plan and this whole concept of Miracle League, the name Miracle League. It just really has a very nice ring to it.
And how many leagues are there?
At the time that we built ours 2 years ago, there were about 100 or so across the nation. We are the only one that's been fully funded, and I think to this day fully funded by a municipality. The rest are all done through private funding, and also some of the Major League Baseball teams have jumped on board and built fields for their cities. The White Sox have built two. The Rockies have built one. I believe the Dodgers have built one. Texas Rangers have built one. I'm waiting for the Yankees and Mets to come on board.
So the funding of the field is the primary expense, and you're saying Westchester County is the only county, to your knowledge, in the country that just took the bull by the horns and said, here you go.
Yes. Well, Andy Spano, when he came into office, established a fund called the Legacy Fund. And the Legacy Fund, what it does is it refurbishes recreational facilities throughout the county to really upgrade them. An example would be the baseball field. Again, I knew about it through baseball at Louisa Street in Peekskill, which has just become a just absolutely beautiful baseball complex down by the river that's under the auspices of Peekskill Parks and Recreation, but open to county residents to use. But Peekskill gets first choice at it. And this, through the legacy funds, through Westchester County, that's where the funding came to be able to build this field.
Now, I know the Yankees and Mets both participate in Disability Awareness Night, where they have a night at the stadium in honor of people with disabilities. So it sounds to me like, you know, perhaps they would have some interest. But if they were, would you do another field?
We would do another field very quickly. We have grown. To give you an idea, we started our first season. We run a spring season and a fall season for the children. The summer, this field right now is too hot to do it. We'd like to find an area that we could put a lighted facility so that we'd be able to run games at night so the kids could play. But what we've done is in their first fall season, we had about 60 youngsters play, and now we're up to close to 600 adults and youngsters playing in 2 years.
In 2 years?
Yes.
And is that a typical size, or are they all 600?
No, we've grown just incredibly, and it's growing faster, too.
What do you attribute that to?
I think it's a word of mouth, and the other thing is that the people that I have working with me on this board are people that have been in the disabled community and worked around there, so that there's, I think, an understanding of what we're doing, and we're doing it for the kids and the adults.
When we come back, we'll talk about the board and some other issues regarding the Miracle League. But right now we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or at littmancrooks.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm from the law firm Littman Crooks. We've got offices in White Plains, Fishkill, and Manhattan. For more information about us, you can go to the internet at littmancrooks.com. Tonight we're talking with Steve Madej from the Miracle League. And Steve, before the break, you mentioned the board of directors. So this is not a one-man operation, right?
Definitely not a one-man operation. We had to put together, as you know, a 501c3 nonprofit organization to get everything up and running. And I have a board of trustees. I drew some fellas that worked with me when I ran the Westchester Rockland Wood Bat League, which is a semi-pro baseball league in Westchester that I left to now take over for Miracle League. They work as my trustees, and then members of the board come from the Westchester County Office for the Disabled. Evan Latainer, who is the director there, sits on the board. I have people that have worked within the disabled community for a while as administrators. Annabel Stroza from was formerly with the United Cerebral Palsy and now works down at the Mount Vernon Schools, and quite a few people and friends that I brought on board.
And how often does the board meet?
Not as frequently as I would like to, and that's, I think, a matter of time right now. We're going to have a meeting within the next couple of weeks to restructure and set up our calendar for 09.
The board is composed of parents as well?
Initially, I did not reach out to the parents because I really didn't know who was going to show up. But now part of the plan, and part of the short-term and long-range plan, is to empower the parents now to almost take over the field and start running the field for their kids.
Yeah, I can tell you that I'm on the board of the Westchester ARC, mm-hmm. and there's a significant parent presence on the board, and we have found that to be very helpful, because who better to tell us what our policies ought to be than the people who are really in the trenches?
Exactly, and I think there's, you know, you mentioned the word empower. They, as they become more empowered and take an ownership for it, you'll see, I think, that we'll see a greater attendance on the part of the kids. I mean, this fall was tough because of the weather. We had a lot of rain on weekends, so we saw our attendance dwindle down. It picks back up in the springtime, but I think that what really has to happen is that the parents need to feel ownership and the empowerment of being able to run the league.
Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned before the break, that the program has grown by leaps and bounds. Is that because there are more kids with special needs in Westchester?
Well, my research prior to starting the program that I approached Marty Rogowski and the county executive and Joe Stout from Parks and Recreation came from State Education Department based upon the census they did in 2003. As you know, they're always 3 years or so behind, that stated that there were over 20,000 children with special needs in the public schools in Westchester County. Now, that takes into account any child who has an IEP or is covered under Section 504. So what that means is that even the child that's just getting remedial reading would be in that count. The way I looked at it was I take 10% of that out as a rough number, a guesstimate, and that's 2,000 children with probably fairly significant disabilities who need a program like this. So I think that the more that we get the word out there, the more kids I'm going to see. I should mention, too, that we just entered in this past fall to an agreement with the WJCS, Westchester Jewish Community Services, to provide a program for children to fall within the autistic spectrum. And we're calling that spectrum baseball. So we have a grant that we're working with, and hopefully that program will start to take off.
Now, that'll just be for kids on the autistic spectrum?
Correct. But and the way I'm looking at the program is that we would have the program for WJCS and their children or our children, really, at one period, but that would not exclude somebody from playing with the other kids and having a good time with the other kids.
So they can do both.
You could do everything. I mean, as far as we're concerned, the child could come down and play all day long.
All right. So you alluded to a couple of fundraisers, and I certainly want to give you the opportunity to tell us about that. But you mentioned the grant. Tell us about the Sports Angel grant.
Ah, how did you know about that? That's a good one. Yeah, the Sports Angel grant was one that we got through Patty Barnes, who is one of our board members, who has a child with a disability, who actually attends our program at Ferncliff Manor. Patty's father is Ralph Branca. Ralph Branca is known as the pitcher who threw the ball that is famously known as the shot heard round the world. Ralph is a big supporter and honorary board member of Miracle League and is one of the board members and primary people involved with Sports Angels, which is a group that provides funding for agencies such as ours, or groups such as ours, to provide programming for children.
So what other sources of funding do you have? You have the these grants. Do you apply for other grants?
We're in the process of starting to look at the grant process. We've been very fortunate in that we had a grant that came through a member item from one of our state senators, and that's helped sustain us. We do our fundraising, obviously, with the golf outing, and we have a dinner dance. Interestingly enough, to me, one of the most unique aspects is that we've had kids come in and fundraise, and children who are doing, for example, bar mitzvah projects. Well, all of a sudden, there's their mitzvah project, they'll come in and they will volunteer in the Miracle League, but then apparently, and I'm not familiar with the process, when they receive gifts and monetary gifts, many times they earmark them for other organizations and don't take it themselves. And we've had a very substantial number of children, when I say substantial, five or six, that have turned around and their projects have come directly to Miracle League. And it's been heartwarming to see, because one of the things that also happens is they come down, they do it as part of their project, and then they wind up staying because they love it so much.
That's an even greater benefit.
That it's an absolutely wonderful benefit.
All right, so you mentioned a couple of things, the golf outing, the gala. Now, you just recently had the second gala, right?
Correct.
Tell us about how that go.
It was a fantastic evening at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. It was attended by about 183 people at a silent auction, a lot of dancing, a lot of partying. It's really a feel-good kind of evening.
And the guest MC?
Guest MC was Bob Lorenz from the Yes Network, who donated his time to come down. And he said to us that at the end of the night, it was one of the most moving experiences he had. And he'd be back next year. And he wants to play golf in the outing.
He did a great job.
He did a wonderful job.
As did the band.
The band was wonderful. I had people on the floor from the beginning of the evening until the very end.
Yeah, it's rare that you go to a party, and I had the privilege of being there, where everyone's not on their fannies, but they're actually on the dance floor.
Well, one of the things that we approach all of our things with is that when we do a fundraiser, we're not looking at people standing there and talking, because that becomes boring after a while. We want people to come and have a good time. And certainly we recognized, as you know, we had a couple of honorees that we recognized last year or 2 years ago. There was a family that was very heavily involved in the special needs community. Had two special needs children who were on the autistic spectrum, who tragically died in the car accident where a tree fell through their car on the Sawmill River Park, or not the Sawmill, but on the Merritt Parkway. I'm sure you all remember that. And what their children were involved in our program, and for families, we named an award with their name that will go on in perpetuity. And then tragically, one of the brothers of one of our players, who was his buddy, also died at a very young age, and that's Christopher Lemp. And so we honor two buddies, or one or two buddies, that we feel are exemplary.
I want to get back to the buddy concept, but before I do, just I want to make sure you don't forget to mention the golf outing. Is it in the spring, summer?
Golf outing is in spring, generally happens in late May, early June. Again, because of our relationship with Westchester County, we've had the benefit of having it up at Hudson Hills Golf Course, which is, I'm not a golfer, so, but I understand it's a very frustrating course, and you come up there with two dozen balls, and you should probably come up with three.
Didn't you know that's the goal of a golfer, to feel frustrated? Because why else would you do it?
Well, see, I can't understand that. I mean, that's not a game for me. I'd rather stand behind the plate and umpire a game than drop a ball in the hole.
Have you ever seen a golfer come up off the course and say, well, I play great?
No.
They're always miserable,
no,
right?
They're always miserable. That's right.
But it's for a good cause.
It's for a good cause, and we have a great party. We have a great party on that night, too.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Steve about the buddy system. We'll be right back.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks. And before we went to break, Steve, we were talking about a couple of awards that you have, and I know you want to just clarify one thing about one of the awards.
Yes, I'm sorry. I made an error, and that is that Christopher Lemp is our player, and his brother Michael is the young man who tragically passed away a year ago, and again was just an unbelievable buddy for his brother.
All right, so now we've used the word a couple of times. What's a buddy?
Well, a buddy can be anybody from the ages of 10 to 100 who's willing to come down and volunteer their time and assist these kids in playing the game of baseball. We accept children with any type of disability, from the mildly involved child to the most severely involved child. And what happens is the buddy will help direct the child. In the case of the more moderately involved child, teach some of the fundamentals of the game. For the more severely involved child, they may be swinging the bat and just handing them the ball to feel and get a more of a sensory input into what goes on in the baseball game.
And yet the child who's involved still gets the feeling of playing a baseball game.
Absolutely. I will tell you that very honestly, after the first year of setting this up in 9 months, I pretty much burned out and I was ready to turn around and turn it over to somebody else and walk away. And I got a call from a parent one day saying, "We'd like to have a birthday party at the field. Would you open it up?" It was in the summer. I said, "Yeah, all right, I'll come up on a Saturday, I'll open it up." Well, it was for one of our more severely involved kids. And they invited a whole cadre of friends and colleagues. And as I came up to the field and I watched these kids, nonverbal, you know, just in their wheelchairs, start to roll up, and they saw the field and they literally were jumping out of their chairs, I said, "Well, this is what it's all about."
Now you're a lifer.
I'm definitely a lifer. But to get back to the concept of buddies. To me, and this was our, and you saw it in the videotape that we did this year for the gala, there's a learning process that goes on, not just for the child with a special need, but as much for the individual that's typically developing, in that they're learning that they're not so different. The special needs child is not different. To me, a 12-year-old probably wants to listen to the same music, play the same video games, dress the same way, whether they're in a wheelchair or in a walker or typically developing. They've got the same kind of feelings.
In the interest of full disclosure, I'll let everyone know that my son Zachary, who's 13, is a buddy, and he's gotten tremendous gratification out of doing that, and will continue to do so. So he's gotten a great deal out of your program, so we want to thank you for that.
Well, it's lovely having him there, and I know exactly who Zach is.
Now, is there any age requirement in terms of who's allowed to play?
We start kind of on the cusp of 5. We've had a couple of 4-year-olds come in. It's difficult with them for the attention span, and then run our youth program up until about the age of 21. And then the adult program, which just started in the spring of this year, is a daytime program that runs 5 days a week, and that's 21 on up. And those are generally adults who are in rehabilitation programs. We had 8 agencies involved this year, over 300 participants. It was pretty impressive.
And there's no prior experience required, no prerequisites, just show up.
Just show up and play. We do a sensitivity training for the buddies at the beginning of each of our seasons, so that they have an understanding of what, you know, teaching them just basic sensitivity, you know, not to talk at a child, to talk with them, engage them, get down on the same level as they are. If they're in a wheelchair, make the eye contact at the same level. Some of the basic understandings that a lot of us take for granted.
All right, we got to take one more break. We'll be right back with Steve Madej to wrap up.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, and our guest this week has been Steve Madej from the Miracle League. And Steve, unfortunately, the half hour is about up, but I'd like to give you an opportunity just to give us some closing thoughts and to tell us how people can learn